There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun? Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hit for you geniuses out there.
Not for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order. A new world order.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time to
go. Radio.
And now for something completely different.
Get the comfy chair.
I am in a comfy chair. I'm in a very comfy chair. I got to move my mic here. Hello, there we go. How's that level look there, Lou? We just hooked everything back up. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you live. It is Tuesday, September 7th, 2010. September 7th, 2010. We haven't been with you since Thursday, and that was an abbreviated one-hour program because I was just feeling nasty bad. I just didn't have any energy, didn't feel like doing it. And, well, it was good because Friday morning we embarked upon a small, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, four-day vacation for the Jones clan. That's clan with a C in case Nicholas is listening. And we went up to wine country, Sonoma, the Napa area, you know. And we had a good time. We went up there to visit my daughter, our daughter, I gotta say our daughter, who's living with her birth unit. So we had her, and we screwed up. I screwed up. I didn't make reservations for campground, so I stayed with my ex-mother-in-law, who is just a doll, who's an angel. And she fed us. She let us stay in the room. She kept slipping me 20s to go out and do something with the kids. It was really nice. I know she doesn't listen to the show because she is a flaming liberal, but she's still got a good heart, which is a dichotomy that I deal with every time I interact with her. It was weird. We were over there, and poor Lewis was going nuts. There were pictures of Obama everywhere, little letters sitting down. Thank you, Mary, for your contribution. You're one of Obama's unofficial official cabinet. Lou was going nuts. And then she's cohabitating with this Jewish guy from an episode of Seinfeld. So Lou was having fun with that, too. But we had a good vacation. That's all I'm going to do on the host. But it was great to be hosted in Sonoma. And we're going to talk in detail about what we did. But it was weird. There just weren't many cars on the road. I think the economy's hitting hard. We didn't see a lot of cars on the road. All the campgrounds were full. The hotels were not. Hotels still had vacancies. But when we went to Sonoma, the ritzy, snobby, New World Order supporting rich hippie types were everywhere. BMWs, Mercedes, Ferraris, Lamborghinis, they were all over wine country. And one of them made the mistake of honking at me, and I went ballistic and threatened to get out of the car and slap them around. Because there were pedestrians everywhere. I wasn't going to about to run over a hippie, although I would have messed up my steering. Maybe lubed it a little bit, but we were in the Sonoma area, and it's just, if you've never been there, it's not a bad place to go. We avoided San Francisco in our tracking. It added about an hour to our time. We avoided the Gay Bay area. We used all kinds of navigational stuff.
Nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there.
Sonoma's a nice place to visit, but Stacy says she wouldn't want to live there. Let me see what's going on here. We're going to get back into this. And it's not what I thought. I thought it would be more in the mountainous region and everything, but it's just rolling hills just like here. It was supposed to be 20 degrees cooler. Yeah, wine-sipping, cheese-eating liberals were up there everywhere, as Olimas says in the chat room, but the temperature was just the same as here. It was unbearable. It was 100 degrees, and there was a swimming pool. My ex-mother-in-law, well, I've known her since I was like 15. She's like an adopted mom. She lived in a senior community, so we had a swimming pool to go to, and so we kept cool that way. We did drive around quite a bit. Fuel prices were down. We were paying between $2.90 and $3.15 a gallon, which surprised me. I thought they were going to shoot up for the weekend, but they didn't. I already talked about, we saw a lot of police officers pulling people over, you know, stealing money from everybody. But nothing. Gunslinger 6 says it's Pelosi. Welcome, Gunslinger 6. Pelosi country sure was. A lot of beautiful Victorian-style homes, a lot of Spanish-era influence, you know, 1580s construction, which is really neat. What we did is we did the historical thing. I wanted to learn more about the Bear Flag Revolt, which took place in Sonoma, where like 32, 33 guys, I've got it all written down, in 1846 took over. It sounds like a Harley Davidson going by. See that, or the helicopters are coming. And it was just neat to see a little history, because there's not that kind of history here. The stuff here goes back to about 1860s. And I've been to Central America, South America, and it was kind of neat to get back into the old style stuff and to see the influences, the European influences. And I forgot about the Russian influence in what is going to be the new state of Jefferson. Fort Ross is in the area, and a lot of what was going on was the Spanish were building forts and missions to oppose the Russians. So I got a kind of a little education in that at the museums we went to, and talking to some of the Park Service employees and docents, learning about how the Russians just did everything wrong as far as they came in. They paid for the land. They didn't subjugate the Native Americans. They didn't get really bossy with anything. They were very pleasant neighbors. And the Spanish walked all over them. And then, of course, when the Americans came in, it was the same thing. And it would have been neat to see what had happened if the Russians had a little more backbone in the area. But the revolt that occurred is not at all what I expected. I went up there thinking we were going to see battle reenactments and yeah. Spanish, you know, soldiers with lancers going after the farmers and everything. But no, it was something completely different. And there's even some comical history to it. It's known as the Bear Flag Revolt, you know, grizzly bear. Well, a couple of things that are funny. The original flag that was done like on a flour sack with, you know, dirt and whatever they could throw together. And the bear looks like a pig. And they misspelled Republic on the first flag. They forgot the I in Republic, I think is what it said, Stacy. And then originally, because Bartlett, who was one of the leaders of the rebellion, who was ahead of this little 32, 33-man militia or whatever it was growing pears in the area. And when he sent the note over to tell them how to make the flag, he told them he wanted to be a pear on it because he had hybrided this pear and he wanted to show the agricultural influence of the area. So it was going to be the Pear Flag Rebellion. But a miscommunication turned into the Bear Flag Rebellion because there weren't a whole lot of bears there at the time. Yeah. I think they hunted them into extinction already. So it's funny. So, and I checked this out a couple places. And of course, I went to Snopes, which we don't trust completely, and a couple places. But it's interesting to think that we may have had a pear on our flag.
That would have been,
you know,
sense.
Which is what most of the people in California are shaped like now, because we're all lazy. But it would have been funny if it would have been the pear flag. And then the red star. We asked why a red communist star on the flag, and I already knew the answer to this. It wasn't. Stacy was sure it was communism. She was all upset. Why is there a red flag? And she kept shaking the park ranger. And yeah, I don't like Snopes either. They're commenting in the chat room about Snopes. But the red star was to honor Texas, which two or three years before, you know, help me historians, 43, was the Alamo. It was to honor the sacrifice of the Alamo, the Lone Star Republic. But the biggest mistake... The biggest mistake that we made, that the Californians made, I wasn't even here. My ancestors weren't even here until the 50s, 1850s. They waited 22 days and then went in with the Union. Because, of course, at that time there was hostilities between the United States, however many states there were at the time, and Mexico. And as soon as a U.S. warship, a sloop, showed up, they took down the bear flag, the original bear flag misspelled with a pig on it. It should have been a pear. They took it down and they put up Old Glory in the Sonoma Square. What's interesting, and we're going to go into it next in the next half hour, I'm going to read the pretty much homogenized history. Like I said, I've gotten history from a few places, plus talking to the people there to tell you how it happened. It's amazing what happened. It's amazing how it went down. It's just I feel like Huell Hauser. That's amazing. Those of you who don't know who Huell Hauser is, you need to Huell Hauser. You need to Google him. He's a great documentarian who makes little 30-minute history things about California, and he's one of my idols. He's kind of like me with a southern accent, and he's not militant. So, but he gets into the history of it. He's got kind of a good sense of humor. Let's see. What else was there? Stuff in the news. They're still killing Americans over in Iraq, even though the war is over. You know, we got 50 quote-unquote advisors over there, and they're still getting killed because, you know, we won the war and it's over. They were talking a little bit in the chat room, and I don't really want to get into too much because I hate the topic. But the Pentagon's not going to go after all the child porn people who are downloading child pornography on government computers at the Pentagon. They're just going to let that go. So don't ask, don't tell applies to child porn. And then it hit me. Remember all the accounts about 3 years ago about the United Nations peacekeepers were raping children and babies all over the world? Well, that's what they're doing. They're trying to get our soldiers ready for that so when we fold in with the UN. It's just training. That's why they're not going to persecute them. This is training. So all our government officials and soldiers and, you know, brass that were looking at this child porn, they were just doing training, guys. I don't know why you're all mad about it. So it's just good training because they want to be UN troops. That's what it is. Stacy's all mad. I don't think she's getting the sarcasm on my statement. She's like, she's just growling over there. Stacy got a new computer. Lewis took mom's computer and smashed it on the road. And so it didn't have a screen anymore, we told you guys. So we had to go out and get a computer on, what is it, $25 a month credit. So it's really imperative that you guys donate now. Stacy's got this little tiny purple computer about the size of a book, a hardback book. But it's got everything she needs to do it. And we're going to be using it for the show. And it's purple. So, when we throw the video on, I'm going to look gay if I'm using it. So, she's all. Well, then we got to bring it back to the store. No, we don't. She loves it. She likes being able to walk around the house wireless with her laptop in her hand like a baby going, oh, did you know this? Did you know that? She's reading me all the news, so maybe it'll make my job a little easier in the long run. So, there you go there. We're being told by General Petraeus, who has taken over the role of, you know, Grand Inquisitor Invader of Afghanistan, that the churches in America that are going to burn the Quran on September 11th are endangering American lives.
Yeah.
Well, I've been using it for toilet paper, kindling, shooting it.
My nose on it.
All kinds of stuff. it's 8:15 p.m. here. No behavior. Oh, I see. We'll have to explain that later. So if you guys do want Korans, I was told by one of our listeners, Mike, who's listening on Facebook, and I'd like to have a shout out to our friends on Facebook. If you go to CAIR, C-A-I-R, which is, I can't remember what it stands for now, Council on Islamic American Relations, Council on Islamic American Relations, or Islamic American Relations, however, and Google it, and they will send you free Korans. So what I want everyone to do is I want them to get a free Koran. I'm going to order all mine in Lewis's name to our post office box, P.O. Box 31, and then we're going to use them for kindling. We're going to use them for wrapping dead fish in. Pork chops, we're going to use them for wrapping pork chops in. Somebody said, I got an email, said they're going to use it for cleaning up bacon grease. All kinds of stuff like that. And on that note, when we were coming through, toilet paper. I'll leave one in the bathroom, and just when I run out of toilet paper, I'm going to use a Koran for toilet paper. And I highly recommend all of you do this. We were driving through, what was the name of that town? Rusty Shackelford. We were driving through Shackelford, California on, I don't know, 580 or something. It was peripheral of Gay Bay. We were out by Grizzly Bay in that area on the way back yesterday. And I saw a sign that said, freeway cleanup next 1 mile by the Shackelford Community Mosque and Islamic Relations Center.
Oh, it was Rutherford.
Rutherford. It was Rutherford. Thank you. It was Rutherford, not Shackelford. Rutherford. Thank you, Stacy. And I thought, what a great opportunity to go out and throw, like, pork rinds all on the side of the road.
That would be funny.
You know, just flip pork chops out on the road there on the 580. It's up in the Gay Bay. It's outside of San Francisco.
Going on the way to Modesto.
No, it was coming down. It was before we even got to Tracy. Yeah.
Oh.
So it was a great little place. So if you've got this in your city where the Islamofascists are adopting lengths of road, what a great way to do it. And then I thought you could take and wrap in pork, like in bacon, pages of the Quran and throw it out the window.
What?
Don't do it when the Gestapo's out, when the highway Gestapo's out and they're going to write you a $3,000 ticket. But I thought that would be funny, you know, just like take one of their Qurans and put a piece of bacon in it and just fling it out the window. So that when they come out, you know, whenever they come out, you know, because it was actually pretty clean. I got to tell you, I was really clean. And yeah, it would be a violation of their civil rights and we would be arrested for hate speech. But you know what? I think the time's coming where some of us are going to be willing to stand up and do that. And we've had shows on it in the past where it's like, okay, if that's the time, that's the time. We've got to stand up to this garbage. The selling out of America. Well, they sold it out. They sold out America, and we've got to start fighting back. And we've got to use this type of tactic, because think how that would be in the news. And then you just call anonymously and say, yeah, we did this. Ooh, I got a call here. I didn't even give out the phone number yet. Hello, who do we have?
Hey, who's this?
Hey, this is Dutch. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on? I don't know. What's going on?
Well, we're live on the air.
Oh, we are?
Yes.
Hey, what's going on today?
Nothing. We're talking about throwing pork at Muslims.
Muslims, huh?
Yeah. So did you have a... Who, is this Jim?
Hey, I gotta go then.
Okay, bye. I don't know who that was. I sounded like Jim, somebody local here.
Who was that?
I think it was Jim. Jimbo. But sheeple won't get it until they're in Sharia court for blasphemy charges. You are so right, Batfag. Yeah, Olimah's saying, Dutch, are you saying we should actually bring back the First Amendment? Yes. And physical protest is a right under the First Amendment. And I'm sorry, nowhere in the Constitution does it say that, freedom of speech only goes so far, you can't offend other people. It doesn't say you can't, if you're free from being offended by speech. Basically, it's been decided that you can't yell fire in a theater or anything that's going to cause someone to die. Now, if I went out there and put a big sign on the freeway that said, go shoot ragheads in the face with grease-dipped bullets, that would be a violation of the First Amendment rights, and it would cross over into insightful speech. Now, what we're talking about is just symbolic protest. Been done before. I'm not making this up. In the Philippines, when they were fighting with the Abu Sayyaf around the turn of the century during the Spanish-American War, they would bury the Muslim fighters in pigskins and leave one guy alive to tell everybody about it. In India, when they were fighting the Muslim, I think they were called the Thug Cult, T-H-U-G, Thug Cult, they would dip their bullets in pig fat, the British.
Really?
Yeah, so that they the people...
Fighting with Muslims?
Yeah. Back in the 1800s, 1700s. I think you have to look that one up, but I know it was when they were doing the Thug Cult. Someone's saying here, don't bring it around the abortion mills. They'll paint circles around the abortion mills and keep your Jesus freak stuff out. Oh, yeah, we're talking, of course, about, you know, free speech zones and all that ridiculous stuff. And I don't understand this. We were talking about the Hegelian dialect. They take away your rights, give you back privileges, and then we thank them for them. When I talk about they, I mean the tyrants, the New World Order, the Jew World Order, who's ever doing it. And we continue to function under that process where the New World Order takes away our rights, gives us a privilege, and then we go, oh, thank you so much. Oh, you're going to allow us to speak in fenced-off areas 5 miles away from the convention center? Oh, at least we're getting to speak. Oh, there won't be any media allowed? Oh, if we leave this area, we get gassed, hit with sonic weapons and new-age weapons that you're trying... New-age weapons, I don't mean that, but new less-than-lethal weapons, supposedly. And we thank them for it. Reminds me of that commercial, and I think it's Dos Equis, the most interesting man in the world. What was it, Lou? What did he say? If he punches you in the face, what was it?
You have to fight off the urge to thank him.
Yeah, you have to fight off the urge to thank him. And that's the way we as Americans have become. If the UN punches us in the face, we have to fight off the urge to thank them. If the New World Order takes away a right, we go, oh, thank you, may I have no more. May you take another. Oh, thank you, you can have another. Here's another right, here's another right. And we've got in our midst these rag-headed invaders. Yeah, that's a hate speech thing. Here, which were never intended to be here. The First Amendment does not apply to non-Christian religions, period. Read the writings of the founding fathers. It was denominational differences. Mohammedism was a huge issue among the founding fathers. That's what they called it back then, Mohammedism. They said the invasion of Mohammedism would be an issue, and they didn't want them here. That is a reason there wasn't a mosque in the United States until 1922 or whatever in the Dakota region. I can't remember which Dakota it was. What was it, Lou? Did you predict that in the next, by 2012, the Dakotas will settle their differences and reunite under one Dakota, and that the warring will stop on the border? Is that what you said? That was pretty good. Lou's starting to get predictions. Will the same thing happen with North and South Carolina? Will they settle their differences, Lou?
I don't know yet.
He doesn't know yet. You gotta throw the bones on that one. What about West and Normal Virginia? Is West Virginia abnormal Virginia? You were born in West Virginia, weren't you, Lou?
Yeah.
Ooh, I didn't realize that kind of hits home. You're one of those weird Virginians that separated off. You're like a, what was it, Scottish Covenanters that did it? Let's see here. Okay. Everybody's getting upset in the chat room. Well, we did go to a foreign church over the weekend, too, and I want to talk about that. The first half hour is just going to give you a recap, and then the rest of the show we're going to talk about what I learned history-wise. We went to a Presbyterian church in Sonoma called St. Andrews. Nice little church. They're doing what they call their, was it the popcorn sermons?
Popcorn parables.
Popcorn parables, where they take movies from Pixar and they throw in one Bible verse, and then they share with you how they relate to life. Well, we did the singing, and they had, you know, they threw up the big screen. They have the multicultural, that's not what I meant to say. The multimedia event where they had the sermons up, or the songs. I'd never heard the first three songs. We did the doxology, and they changed it around. It was really weird. You know, there were different courses in the doxology. They didn't change the words, just the way that they emphasized certain words. And then they go from where you're getting into a place of worship, you're getting into a mindset of worship, and then they stop and do the announcements. And they go on for half an hour about how they're, you know, next Sunday is Civil Service Day. They're going to go out with all the other churches and paint fences and befriend orphans at the orphanage, which is great. And then they ask people, then what was the other thing they did? Oh, yeah, that's what the fish thing is. Yeah, I already talked. Yeah, that's what the service day is.
Sharing joy. And
sharing blood.
And then they pass the plate around, right? They pass the plate around.
Yeah.
And then they did a Sunday school, and then they did something else that was weird. Then they did prayer requests. Does anybody have anything happy? And then they said everybody meet each other. They did communion. Then they did communion. So everything's disjointed, and then they show a clip from the movie Up.
What communion was after?
Communion was after. Okay, but they showed the clip from the movie Up, and it says, in this movie, we want you to look at the crutch. The crutch that the old man uses is both symbolic and literal. And you'll see the young boy who is a blessing to the old man. And he's out there trying to get earn his badge. Those of you that have seen Up, you know, for helping senior citizens. But he finds the most resistant senior citizen ever. And they go on this journey where they inflate balloons and float the house to South America. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
And then there's something in the lobby that I said, let's send a thank you letter to John Lasseter. And I'm like, Lasseter, that sounds really familiar. I'm thinking maybe it's a missionary, maybe it's somebody in prison. John Lasseter owns Pixar Studios and lives by the church and donates money to the church. He doesn't go to the church, but there's this big thank you letter, and they want to thank him because what they had done for the past 4 weeks, they had done Up, the movie Cars,
Wall-E,
and what was the other one? I can't remember. But
Toy Story.
And they made them like a 20-minute sermonette. You watch the part of the video. You didn't watch the whole movie. And then they're thanking him for this, and I realize it's because he's donating money to the church. They're promoting his videos. And the pastor was this little Presbyterian pastor. I mean, they didn't have any sodomites that I noticed in there. They didn't talk about that or anything, you know, which I fully expected. But it was just strange to me. And then what was weird is the next day at breakfast, poor grandma, Anthea's grandma, Mary's going, well, what do you think of my church? I said, well, I have no idea. There wasn't a sermon. I said, I didn't like the way that they went from music to collection plate to announcements. The whole point of singing, throwing up a joyous tune to the Lord, your voices, is to get in a spirit of worship, and then you do this and you do that. And what was the Sunday school lesson?
Blessings.
It was on, the whole thing was on blessings and being a blessing. That if you're given a blessing, if you don't spread it, it doesn't come back. And, you know, Abraham would be a blessing, Abram, and would be a blessing unto the people and all that kind of stuff. But it was, it was a typical 501c3 church. But what was interesting is I've been in a vacuum. I've been going to this church now for 4 years. I've been to 3 other church services, not counting this one, outside of it, and they've all been like this. They've all been, I'm like, well, that's the church service?
Yeah.
Where's the meat?
They didn't use Bibles.
They didn't use Bibles. They just threw up a Bible verse, and it was, what Bible version were they using? What was the Bible in front of us? NIV?
Yeah,
NIV. And it was funny because when they were asking for prayer requests, I thought about standing up and making a scene, but then I thought, you know what, I'm not going to do it. I'm a guest here. And then they had, they had the typical donuts and coffee, but they took the donuts away before I could get one. And then they go, here's a gift, and there were 2 books, and one of them was an End Times Ministry book, and the other one was like a prayer. And then Stacy got a free coffee cup, a big like double dose coffee cup. You know, they gave her that. It was just strange, you know, going to this church.
It sounds like sermons on the Pope.
Okay, give me some background on their sermons, Lou.
I found the website where they're uploading.
Oh, where the actual sermons? Well, put it in the room so people can listen to them. Mm-hmm. And it was just sad because I saw all these really shiny, happy people in their Hawaiian shirts, their little gangbanger-looking white kids, you know, little wigger kids, wearing their hats in church, running around barefoot in church. And you know what their Sunday school was? A water balloon fight. They had a water balloon fight for their Sunday school. And I'm not really, you know, I wasn't there. Anthony was there. Lou stayed with us. He didn't want to go hang out with the you know, little teeny boppers, you know. And then they were having a contest. Their ladies' auxiliary was putting together a cookbook, you know, and they wanted names for it. And we're like, Stacey came up with God's Grub. What was the one you
did that?
Oh, I came up with God's Grub.
I did St. Andrew's Manna from Heaven.
Yeah, St. Andrew's Manna from Heaven. Anthea, our 9-year-old, said St. Andrew's Cookbook. That was her little suggestion. I don't know. I guess we win like if first place wins 1 cookbook signed by the pastor. Second place wins 2. Isn't that what they said?
Yeah.
2 signed cookbooks. They were trying to come up with names for their cookbook. And this is the thing. And I didn't bring it in. There were like 4 pages in the announcement of activities. They have so much going on that has nothing to do with, is like bowling night, cribbage night, golf night. It was just like everything we saw in Time Chambers, our studio audience yells out. It was a sad, sad thing. We're going to be back after the break. I'm Dutch Jones. It's good to be live again. We're not using the new soundboard. We're going to talk about that when we get back, and then we're going to get into the Pear Flag Revolt. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening. Storm.
you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message, and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
A gang,
not for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all point buttons. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world
order. Attention.
The government
is an emergency. Please speak. An emergency. I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for that.
Jerry's radio program.
And now for something completely different.
No one expects us political.
That's funny that you throw the Spanish Inquisition in there, Lou, because we're going to be talking a little bit about Spanish missions here in this next half hour. About our little trip we took to Sonoma. Hang on here. Sorry, guys. And welcome, everyone, in the chat room. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. This is the second half hour for September 7th, 2010. We've been away on a 4 or 5 day journey, vacation to Sonoma area for personal and education reasons. We wanted to see the mission, the fort. We wanted to find out a little bit more about what is known as the Bear Flag Revolt. I was woefully disappointed and enriched in knowledge. I didn't know exactly what it was. Yes, I did get your picks, Rocky Hill. Thank you for sending me those. I didn't see any insignia on there showing that they were Chinese, though. I don't know. I need to talk to you later off air about how you know they were Chinese. I was expecting big stars and pictures of Chairman Mao on them.
Yeah.
But getting to Sonoma, that was the northernmost outpost for the Spanish influence. They had a mission there, and we'll get into the name of the mission. There was a barracks, a fort, basically a longhouse that was made of adobe and wood. To make it possible to defend the mission from the Russians from Fort Ross, which were just a little farther north. And I found out talking to, and I'm not sure which one of the listeners it was, I was chatting on Facebook over the weekend, and it turns out that Fort Ross is the southernmost barrier boundary for the new state of Jefferson that some of the militia guys are wanting to form up. So a little interesting there. It would be good to think that maybe they could come a little farther south. I wouldn't mind it. But the barracks there historically were put there to protect the mission from the Russians, to stop the Russian influence, to keep the local Native Americans in order. Well, in California history, we get a lot of garbage here where the Mexicans say that, oh, this was Mexico, you took it from us. No, it wasn't. It was Spain. The Mexicans may have traded with people here, but historically the Aztecs never conquered anyone here. The Mestizo Indians of Mexico never had empires here. It was the Spaniards, Europeans. Say what you will about the Spaniards, love them, hate them, the Catholic Inquisitions, the violence that they imposed upon the conquered peoples, but it was not Mexico. This was Spain. So what we're going to talk about is when California, for 22, I think it was, glorious days, was an independent republic nation, and they made the stupid mistake of going in with the Union. So we're going to talk about the raising of the bear flag. So at dawn on June 14th, 1846, 33 heavily armed Americans gathered at the fortified adobe home of General Mariano Vallejo. Now, what I want to say here is a lot of the stuff that I found on the internet and even at the place describes them as heavily armed white settlers. And this article that I'm reading says Americans. Either one is wrong. Who cares what color they were? And there were people of Spanish and Mexican descent in the group. They weren't all white, and they were not Americans. They couldn't have been Americans because California was never an American holding. So you're going to see this kind of twisting of history here in the first sentence of what I'm reading to you here. And this is from the state parks. But so at dawn on June 14th, 1846, 33 heavily armed settlers gathered at the fortified adobe home of General Mariano Vallejo. Now, one thing in Mariano Vallejo's defense, he liked the thought of the Russians or the Americans getting California when Spain had pulled out. Spain bailed for financial reasons. They were having wars in Europe. They didn't want to keep the influence over here. And Mexico was useless. There was no real government. They were unable to control the region. So Vallejo, Mariano Vallejo, was stuck here with his family at the mission protecting, you know, the monks, friars, whatever, and the people that were settled here, and he wanted Russia or the United States to take it. Now, on the north side of Sonoma's Plaza, there's a monument there. If you ever get there, you can see there's a nice little monument. Whoa, it just got louder in my headphones. Let me turn down a little bit. Now, these men, some from the Grisby-eyed party of settlers, some mountain men and some explorers, but all displeased with the impending influx of Mexico coming into the area after Spain had left it. Now, they pounded on the adobe door and loudly demanded the general come out and surrender the little fortress to them. Now, Vallejo quickly donned his dress uniform, then opened the door and invited three representatives of the group in for breakfast and wine. The general's military bearing and immaculate uniform must have contrasted starkly with the clothing of his visitors. Now, some of these settlers and these rebels, you know, whatever you want to call them, some of these, I'm going to use the word militia. Some of these militiamen wore buckskins, others wore their work clothes, still others wore what only rags they had picked up or made during their travels. Now, Robert Semple, a member of the group, later noted in his memoirs that the party was as rough looking a set of men as could ever be imagined. Now, what you got to realize is that the reason this went so easy, and I was disappointed, I went up there thinking I was going to get to see a reenactment cannon, because they were cannon. They had a small cannon, like a 3-inch diameter cannon there, a two-story structure with a palisade around it. I thought, this is going to be great. They're going to be stabbing each other. There's going to be horseback. No. When the militia, when the 33 militia rolled up, the guard at the front gate was asleep. He was asleep. The Mexican guard, he wasn't a Spaniard. The Spaniards left and left Mexicans behind. The Mexican guard was asleep at the gate. It's a lesson to you, Lou. Stop falling asleep on guard duty. You've never been on guard duty, I know. But it's a good lesson to learn about being on guard duty. One man can change the world if he goes to sleep in a negative way. Because Vallejo realized that Mexican rule was inadequate, the government wasn't fit to rule the region, and that they lacked the resources to manage the areas as large and as rich as California, he had been hoping the United States or Russia would annex the region. He told the Americans that morning, he considered, I love it, the Americans, the militia that morning, he considered himself to be one of them. Now, the group was wary of this guy because he was an enemy general, but they respectfully informed him he was under arrest and sent him to Sutter's Fort for safeguarding. Remember Sutter's Fort, Sutter's Mill, where the gold was? Another manifest thing here. Another manifest thing here. The gold that was needed for the United States to grow from border to border. The Mexicans couldn't have handled that. What would have happened had the Mexicans found gold there? Now, Vallejo would eventually return to Sonoma after the U.S. took control of California 22 days later. He would go to serve as a delegate to the California Constitutional Convention, and he later became a state senator. So here's a guy in California history, and it's unclear whether or not he was Mexican or Spanish, but from what because I've seen both. You know how Mexicans are? They claim everybody was a Mexican. You know, and they claim they're all Spanish. Well, I believe he was a Spanish officer. And if you know, guys know more about it, email me and we'll discuss it. Having won such a surprising and effortless victory, the militia, now 24 strong, were at a temporary loss. Some suggested looting the adobe, which was also an arsenal. But William Ide made an impassioned plea for restraint. Choose ye this day what we will be. We be robbers, or are we conquerors? To legitimize their conquest, the rebels decided to raise a new flag, see the word rebel in there, over the plaza. By most accounts, the making of the flag was overseen by William L. Todd. Now, this guy's got a connection to Lincoln. It was the nephew of Mary Todd Lincoln, wife of a future tyrant, butchered president. Now, a Californio, I love how they did Californio, it was the first time the word pops up here, woman, donated a rectangular piece of very light brown muslin. The wife of John Sears, one of the Grisby-eyed party, tore a 4-inch wide strip from a red petticoat, that's underwear for you folks, between the dress and the underwear, and sewed it to the muslin, making a stripe along the bottom reminiscent of the stripes of the American flag. Todd then drew a star in the upper left corner. Now, this has been some contention. A lot of people thought that red star was for Marxism or something. Those things didn't exist back then. You got to realize this predates the Communist Revolution. This predates Marx's Communist Manifesto. So that's not what it was. So he drew a red star in the upper left corner, some say for solidarity with Texas in fighting its war with Mexico. Now, a crude rendition of a grizzly bear next to it, which looks like a pig. It completely looks like a pig or a really warped dog with no tail. And we'll put a link up maybe on the website. Well, because we need to throw this flag up on the DutchJones.tk website because I like it. Using for both a brownish mixture of to make the paint, they used brick dust, linseed oil, and Venetian red paint. Now, the word California Republic was written in black in the middle to the right of the rising star, but as I told you before, they spelt Republic wrong. And you can see in the original flag where they had to go back and change it, they left the I out of Republic. Is that what it was, Stace?
Yeah.
You decided the I out, so it's a Republic. So they had to go back and correct it.
Mm-hmm.
Why a grizzly bear? Some historians say the choice was made to enrage and intimidate the Californios, who feared the grizzly more than any other predator. Other accounts say the mountain men favored the grizzly because it was the fiercest and most determined fighter in the animal kingdom. I would have preferred a badger, but okay. Whatever the reason behind its choosing, the grizzly quickly became the symbol of the new republic, also known then as the Bear Flag Republic. The grizzly remains the symbol of California today. I found two other articles that say that it was actually supposed to be a pear, P-E-A-R, because Bartlett Pears was a big farming conglomerate in the area, and he had been growing pears. Now, this shows up on both Wikipedia, dubious, and Snopes, but nowhere else. So that kind of shows you how Snopes can just throw lies up there. Sounds like a great prank. Sounds like something Lou and I would come up with. The Pear Flag Rebellion.
Yeah.
In his memoirs, the Recollections, General Vallejo calls the flag design strange, and says the bear looked more like a pig than a bear. No one is exactly sure what the original bear flag looked like as it was destroyed in the San Francisco earthquake fire of 1906, but there are some actual lithographs and stuff taken of it, and by people's testimony they've recreated it. While there are extensive contemporary descriptions of flags of that period, many differ with each other on the actual designs. The bear flag was adopted as the official state flag in 1911, believe that or not. The current design is a result of several makeovers and last by prominent California historian by artist Donald Kelly in 1953. Well, some of the things I want to talk about in this, and they're not going into it, then when the sloop, I can't remember the name of the sloop, we got to look that up here, showed up and they were folded into the United States like 22 days later, it's kind of sad that they didn't hold out. Think how great it would have been if California had remained an independent state. However, by the time Lincoln got there, they would have used force to take it for the gold, and it may have been much bloodier than it was, and that's kind of sad. To think of that possibility. I'm looking at the flag right here, and it looks so much like a pig. But I want to get some of these. Oh, what just happened here? This is where to just flip to the state flags of every state. I want to get this flag and maybe put it on a T-shirt for Dutch Jones, because I think it's funny. And especially with the fact that, you know, how much they've twisted the history of everything. That, you know, first to say they were Americans. They weren't Americans. They were individuals. They were militia men who just didn't want Mexico coming in. The fact in history that it shows that when Spain left, that's when the revolt started, because they were afraid that Mexico would come in, and they knew what Mexico would bring with it. Mexico never owned this land. They never had a Mexican flag flying over it.
Mm-hmm.
They may have been over the fort. There may have been, you know, some of that kind of heraldry going on, but they never took control of it. They never took control of it. ever, period. And so when we talk to these reconquistas, we have to say, really, when did Mexico own California? Now, there are certain land grants in Southern California. Yes, I will concede that. But they sold them to European settlers. And after the Mexican-American War, they were paid for their land. We're such a weird nation. We go in and we wage war, and then, with the exception of Iraq, we leave them better off than when they started. Now, other articles here. This is from Britannica, Encyclopedia Britannica. Now, June to July 1846 was a short-lived independence rebellion precipitated by, and it says American settlers again, in California's Sacramento Valley against Mexican authorities. In 1846, approximately, here we go, 500 Americans were living in California, compared to between 8,000 to 12,000 Mexicans. Nonetheless, early in June, a group of about a dozen Americans, see they're lying about the numbers, seized a large herd of horses from a Mexican military commandant. On June 14th, another group captured Sonoma, the chief settlement of north of San Francisco, led by William B. Ide. The Americans issued a Declaration of Independence and hoisted a flag. Okay, now this is the Encyclopedia Britannica. And look at how much in here, you look at how it's biased. They're saying that only 500, let's say there were 500 Europeans, let's use that word, 500 Europeans took over the whole thing against the will of 12,000 Mexicans. They stole horses. Isn't it weird how our history gets perverted? What these men did was something great. Can you imagine and who knows how things would have worked out, God's will, had Mexico gained control of this area, the slaughter that would have ensued? I mean, look what they've done to their own country. Look what they've done to their own country. Let's see here. Let me find some more stuff. I love this. Just the weird way the history gets twisted around. I mean, and granted, I was completely wrong. I thought it was an armed resistance, and it wasn't. Here we go. Here's some stuff from LearnCalifornia.org. Several months after the declaration of war, however, events in California, where the news of the conflict had not yet reached, took a course of their own. As American settlers, again, rose up in revolt against the Mexican authorities on June 14th, a band of armed Americans tromped into Sonoma, woke up General Vallejo, it's V-A-L-L-E-J-O if I'm spelling it wrong, commander of the Northern Garrison, whose troops had been dismissed due to lack of funds, and demanded his immediate capitulation. See, Mexico hadn't even been paying their soldiers. After some muddled negotiations, complicated by liberal servings of the general's excellent brandy, Vallejo agreed to surrender. He and his neighbors were promptly arrested and hauled off to Sutter's Fort to be imprisoned. Poor repayment for their excellent hospitality he had demonstrated to his captors. See, they're making it look like a bunch of drunken rebels went in there and did this. They were drunken rebels. Why was no one raped? Why were no buildings burned? Why was no one killed? Only about 90 Americans were in the initial band of rebels. See, the number changes. Most of them had migrated together in the Party of Immigrants under William Ide, and indeed, Ide stepped forward as the leader of the disorganized movement. They were motivated by fears and rumors that the Mexican government was planning to deport all American settlers. Most of them were illegal immigrants. See, you love that? We were the illegals here. Although in the bluster of the movement, Ide and his followers ludicrously claimed that they feared extermination by the Mexicans. Ultimately, the revolt was the natural consequence of a large, rowdy population living within a poorly administered and enfeebled department that nonetheless treated them as an unwanted minority. Isn't this great? This is from the state of California. This is how the state of California puts it. This is the state of California educational site. The American settlers were emboldened by the presence of Captain John C. Fremont, a U.S. Army mapping engineer, basically, who arrived previously in California with a sizable band of escorts, mostly rugged mountain men. Fremont was a dashing and well-connected man, the son-in-law of U.S. Senate's noisy Anglophobe Thomas Hart Benton. Fremont had been made two previous explorations to the West, and he came in. So they're making it sound like it was a conspiracy here. Mexico's fallen apart. They heard rumors that they were going to be killed and their land seized by the Mexicans that were still there. and they're the bad guys. Once in California, Fremont quickly overstayed his welcome. See, he wasn't welcome there. And the Mexican authorities ordered him out. In a fit of defiance, he dug himself in with his sharpshooters and faced off against the pathetic contingent of militia sent against him. He then proceeded north as far as southern Oregon, where he was met by a government agent posing as a merchant. Now, this is Marine Lieutenant Archibald Gillespie. Gillespie brought reports of imminent war with Mexico, and both the ambitious young officers decided that the moment warranted immediate military action, and the party returned to Sutter's Mill. Upon hearing of the revolt in Sonoma, Fremont left Lieutenant Edward Kern in command of Sutter's Fort and then departed with his party for the coast. Sutter, a former Mexican official, was kept a virtual prisoner until he was commissioned a lieutenant junior grade and essentially made second in command of his own fort. See how the California rewrites its own writing? And I want to tell you here, this thing is full of spelling errors, and it's from the state here. LearnCalifornia.org. Meeting up with the bear flaggers, I like how they always, it's like tea baggers, bear flaggers, who had recently defeated California militia in a skirmish at, okay, this one I can't pronounce, Olampali Ranch. Fremont now united with the two forces and became de facto leader of the bear flag movement. Much to the chagrin of Ide, he then processed to cross the Golden State, whose name he provided, dubbing the Strait. I can't remember. I can't even read half these Spanish words. Cristeros, and spiked the decrepit guns at the San Francisco Presidio in a dashing yet hollow raid on July 1st. What he did is he went in at the Presidio at the Golden Gate. There were some Spanish guns there, cannons. Well, what happened is Fremont went in there and destroyed those guns. He spiked them. He made them so they would no longer work. And they're calling it a dashing yet hollow raid on July 4th. This is from our own state historians. Fremont was acting without orders and without knowledge of a U.S. declaration of war. Oh, so he's a savage bandit. Indeed, it was fortunate for the careers of Fremont and Gillespie that the war with Mexico had already started, unbeknownst to them. As military officers, they made war against a sovereign nation without authorization. Had fighting not broken out south of Nuces, N-U-E-C-E-S, Nuces, the maverick actions of these Americans would have certainly provided ample cause for a war in which they would have been no illusions that Mexico was not the aggressor that the United States was. Isn't this funny? See how this is rewritten? Fremont and Gillespie were men motivated by excessive ambitions. Okay, who is that? Just take a look at it. Who is it? Okay, answer it. Tell them we're live on the show. Let's see. It goes on and on here to kind of defile the independence of California. And it's just funny here that that this is a school site, a Department of Education for California site, and they are trying to defame the men who fought to make California free from a decrepit, tyrannical... I mean, look at what Mexico was. Even the Spanish, they just said, that's it, we're pulling out. When does a Mexican become a... What did he say? What do you want?
I don't know, you just want to talk to
him. Okay. Didn't realize we were doing the show.
No.
I like the room show. Huh?
I don't think he knows you do a show.
Yeah, he knows I do a show. He's asked me about it. Let's see. Heavily armed white men. Sounds like some good guys there. What I don't understand here is, one, I'm just as guilty as this is because I didn't even know about this history of the state. I hate California so much, I didn't really care. I had a vague understanding of what the history was. But they're not teaching this in any schools. Lou, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Did you ever learn any of this?
No.
Any of this in the public cesspool system? No? Say it again.
No.
No. No. Do you swear to that?
Yes.
Okay. I had to turn it up and it made the fan sound real loud. They just would not teach it at all. They're not going to teach it in the schools. In fact, they teach the opposite. We were the illegal aliens. We were invasive. We started a war. We stole horses. There were only 500 Europeans here and the rest were Mexicans. Well, tell me exactly again, what is a Mexican? Please, please define to me genetically, culturally, tribally, what is a Mexican?
I'm trying to think of a joke.
Lou's trying to think of a joke. I thought it was a funny joke.
Weren't they bred with Aztec?
No, it was Indians that were raped by Spaniards. So who knows what was here? I mean, were these, you know, and what empire had Mexico built outside of its own borders prior to? Do we find Aztec temples in Sacramento?
No.
Do we find huge terraced hillsides where the Mayans grew avocados in Fresno?
No.
We don't. They have no claim to this land, and they are rewriting our history, even at the state level. And I could see the frustration of the park rangers' faces. When I was asking them questions and bringing up stuff, they were like, yeah, we know that. I said, and I go, so what you're telling, and I said this one, so what you're telling me is Mexico never really had any claim north of about Imperial County. Well, yeah, that's pretty much true. So we've got a, and I know you guys hate California, and I have a few listeners that live in California. We need to, you need to dig and find this kind of stuff out, and you need to expose it. I won't even get into the Jesuit stuff, the missions that were here, all the missions that were built here to subjugate. You know, my daughter, Anthea, told me that she was told that the Indians were enslaved by the white men. No, the Indians were not enslaved by the white men. The Indians were enslaved by the Catholics. And it was a willful enslavement because they could have left and they could have fought back.
I can't believe they're teaching that.
I said, who told you that? She was, my teacher taught me in fourth grade that the Indians were enslaved by Europeans. I said, no, it was the Catholic Church. There's a difference. There's a definite difference. It's a big difference. And the Russians, and I was going to talk a little bit about that, the Russians from Fort Ross bought their land from the Indians, paid the Indians for their labor. And that, and like I said, I was jokingly saying they did everything wrong. That's maybe that's why we don't hear anything about the Russian influence here. You know, we see some of the words, you know, the Russian terms, Russian River, you know, Stanislaus County, stuff like that, but we don't hear about what they did because we can't hang something around their neck. Are you going to play the Alamo? Okay, folks, we don't have an Alamo in California. We're going to come back after the break. I don't know how much longer I can go. I'm getting a sore throat here. But we're going to do a little bit more. It's Tuesday. We won't have Liberty Tree Radio, but we'll do a little bit more when we come back. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Thanks for rebroadcasting, Scotty. We'll be back after the break.
You can hear a ghostly bugle as the men go marching by. You can hear them as they answer to the roll call in the sky. Colonel Travis, Davy Crockett, and 180 more. Captain Dickinson, Jambo, President, and the count is more. Back in 1836, Houston said to Travis, get some volunteers and go fortify the Alamo. Well, the men came from Texas and from old Tennessee, and with them came young Smitty, just to fight for the right to be free. Engine scouts with squirrel guns, men with muzzle loaders, stood together heel and toe to defend the Alamo. You may never see your loved ones, Travis told them that day. Those who want, you can leave now, those who fight to the death, let them stay. 185 brave men, holding back 5,000. 5 days, 6 days, 8 days, then Travis held and held again. Then he sent for replacements for his wounded and his lame. But the troops that were coming never came, never came, never came. Twice he charged and threw recall on the fatal third time. Santa Ana breached the wall and he killed them one by all. Now the bugles are silent and the rust on each sword, and the small band of soldiers lie asleep in the arms of the Lord.
If our family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention!
New world order.
Attention! It's an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Bats, Jones, and Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Is that the Catholic Inquisition?
Yeah.
I couldn't understand what it was. Welcome back.
Investigate the truth from this unbeliever on pain of torture.
Well, thank you. Thank you for bringing that in, Lou. The Jesuit point of view right there. Stop. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. It is Tuesday, the 7th of September. I'm surprised to see Ed in there.
Me too.
Are we, we're broadcasting over Liberty Tree Radio. I didn't get our people ready for that. If I'd have known, I would have worn a tie. I thought it was Tuesday. I would have washed my feet. I would have gargled with peroxide, shaved a bit. But that's interesting. I'm very excited that it's Tuesday and we are live. Welcome to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We have been on a kind of hiatus. We took a family tithe vacation, some time together. We went to the little historic town of Sonoma to do some research and to find out about the Bear Flag Rebellion, and we've been talking about that. About the truth about California being an independent nation for a couple of weeks, how Mexico never really controlled the area, that Spain just walked away. It was kind of like Spain had this really cool Impala, and it left it on a street corner and walked away from it, and Mexico was sneaking up to steal it, and the Europeans came in and took it, and Mexico is a little upset. Let's see, but my other host is in their show in months. Hey, put that crazy California guy on. Thanks, Ed. We will do a full show then. Sometimes on Tuesdays I break after an hour because, you know, I'd rather go eat. But I haven't done a show in, like, since Thursday. So it's good that I get up here. Thanks, Ed. I'm really glad you put us up. Now I got to come up with an extra hour. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. One of the other things that we wanted to talk about was Spain, not Mexico, were the ones who built the missions here. The Catholic missions, the Jesuit priests that came in and enslaved the Indians, as my daughter was taught in school, was Spain. There was no Mexican diocese that did it. There were no Mexican priests that I know of. They may have some other priests, but they were Spaniards that were brought over from Spain as early as the early 1700s. They went all the way from San Diego to Sonoma. They spotted the countryside. They went along what was known as the Camino de Real, if I pronounce that right. It's the Road of Kings. And it was, Spain was looking for gold. Of course, we all know the history. They were looking for the lost city of gold. They were looking for all that secret Mexican gold that the Aztecs had. And they built these settlements, some of them grand, some of them not so grand. Most of them were bad news for the local Indians. But they were run very... Let me put it this way. We're with an iron fist. Just like everything else the Jesuits did everywhere else. Everything, and I'm not going to get into the whole anti-Jesuit thing, but you know my view on Catholicism. South America, Central, everything. But the cool thing was here is that the Spaniards were unable to turn this into anything feasible. Constant rebellions by the Indians, famine, lost missions, rebellion by the Spanish troops that were sent to defend them. It never took off. And you know why, don't you? God, yeah, I can't do video when I'm here. We can't do video on our bandwidth up here. We're transmitting right now from Cahuilla, California, from the belly button of California, and we have very limited bandwidth here. We can't do both. We get knocked off if we try to do it. So thank you, though, Freedom Warrior. There's a lot of people in the room there. So I forgot where I was going there. Where was I going? The Catholic Church, the Spaniards. Oh, so the Spaniards weren't making it work. So there was no way in the world that Mexico was going to be able to do anything with this land. We just need to understand that this was never Mexico. There was Alta and Baja California. Baja California was Mexico. Alta, meaning Upper California, was European. It was Russian. It was German. It was Italian, I found out this weekend, going through the museums and the little tourism places. You got to dig for this history. They won't just give it to your kids and then they can come home and tell you. I read you or in the first hour from Encyclopedia Britannica, and it was definitely anti-white European. They made it sound like a bunch of drunken guys in gunny sacks came down, stole some horses, and took California, and that's not at all what happened. There were atrocities by the Spanish landlords. There were atrocities by the Mexican military. I can tell you stories all day long about raids that were going on along the border. They're not going to teach this because they want it to look like they are taking back something that we stole from them. Mexico never, ever, 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 it's like the Sandlot, forever owned any part of California north of about, let's say Riverside County, let's be fair, which was just voted one of the worst places in the world to live. Riverside County, by the way. Fresno wasn't in it. That was a good thing. So let's focus on that. Why did God Almighty, they were Catholic priests, why didn't they find all the gold? Why weren't they able to get the settlement here from Spain like we white Europeans were able to do? Manifest destiny, folks. Manifest destiny. Horace Greeley, all that, go west, young man. Now, I'm not a big fan of the Union. I'm not a big fan of the Union, and I wish that California had stayed an independent nation. But it is far better that Northern Europeans got California than Spain did. God did not bless the Spaniards for what they did here. Not at all. Not at all. Hey, Pinky 660's in there?
Yeah.
Welcome, Pinky 660.
That's Mom.
That's Grandma. That's Lou, your grandma's in there. Say hi, Grandma. Go over and give Grandma a kiss. You know you want to. Grandma was being teased by Lou today. I don't know what he did, but I heard her yelling. You were messing with Grandma this morning.
Messing with Grandma.
I'm messing with Grandma. That should be Lou's show. Messing with Grandma, Louis. Little pranks you can play. So, and I'm giving examples here where even California educational history makes it sound like that this nation, California, while it was an independent nation for 22 days, was a bad thing. And that they were exploiting the Texas Rebellion. That they were drunkards. That they were thieves. And that's the farthest thing from the truth. Now, I'm a little disappointed that there weren't some great battles that were fought. And there were down in San Diego and things like that. I really went to Sonoma expecting to see this big battle reenactment. They didn't even fire the cannon because there was none fired in the battle. The guard at the front gate was asleep. The general was asleep. And then they make it sound like the general got the guys drunk and got him to agree to something. Well, we still got the state. You know, when I say we, I mean we Northern Europeans. And that was a good thing, because what did we do with California? As much as I hate California, up until about 1969 or so, this was a great state. Full of opportunity. It had its bad parts, you know, pornography, the film industry, enclaves of hippiness. But as a state, it had the sixth largest economy in the world, and it was something great. God blessed those 32, 33, up to 500, depending on which history, that rolled up on that fort that day and said, okay, Mr. Spaniard, you're going home. And you Mexicans, you better leave. And they did it without firing a shot. Rather than honoring those men that didn't... I mean, how many revolutions around the world do Latino nations do that are horrendously bloody? How many? Look at the French Revolution. How bloody was that? The Reign of Terror. The Russian Revolution. But here was a nation that was born for only, you know, 3 weeks in a bloodless revolution, except with some sporadic fighting, I know. There weren't hangings. There weren't guillotinings. And as far as I can find, they didn't round up the 1,400 Mexicans that are claimed by certain sources to be in this state and drive them into the sea. They didn't do that. In fact, if you watch Zorro, I'm just kidding, they embraced each other. There were a lot of Mexicans that didn't want Mexico ruling this because they knew what would happen. It would be a junta government like we have today. God blessed the revolution that took place here, the bear flag, or the pear flag. I can't get over that. For those of you that just tuned in, Snopes is reporting that we were originally supposed to have a giant pear, P-E-A-R, P as in Papa, Echo, Alpha, Romeo, on our flag because of the Bartlett pears that were being grown here instead of a bear, and it was a misconception. And they say it's true. Can't find it anywhere else. Park rangers didn't know anything about it when we went to the fort there in Sonoma. But I think, and I told people the theme of today's show was going to be, and I'd like to thank my Facebook listeners. I'm sorry I haven't been getting back there. Let me get back in there. Facebook listeners, thank you so much for listening. I'm getting your comments. We need to exploit this now. We know that Fort Ross is the southernmost border for what the folks are trying to do with Jefferson. I say extend it deeper, farther south. Let's go to Fresno. I went over some giant rivers and Grizzly Bay and these ports that are going to be needed for the new nation. We can learn a lot from this. There was a reason that God gave this strategically in one big chunk. We don't need to turn away from our past and not learn from it. It would be great if California could become, I said earlier, sixth largest economy in the world. I don't know what we are now, and our bond rating is so bad. I don't think we could get a loan from North Korea if we tried. I don't think we could sell anything. I mean, they've outsourced everything. The farms have gone corporate here. From, what was it, 1840s? 1940s is 100 years to now. 180 years. It went from being just like Texas did. Why did Texas do that? And Texas did it twice. They joined the Union twice. Prime example. Look at how our forefathers did it. They didn't tolerate it. When the Spanish left, they went, here's an opportunity. When the Spanish said, okay, Mexico, here's the keys. And what happened? The Mexicans went to sleep at the gate. The Spanish soldiers all left. They went home with their booty, not having yet found the true wealth that was California. The riches that were yet to come were far greater than anything the Spanish took out of here, out of California. And look what we've done with it. I mean, the Mexicans would have done worse, admittedly. What have we done with it? We've handed it over to liberal thought. We've handed it over to hippie communist thinking until there's only little strongholds here in California, little handholds of militias. I listen to the intelligence report. They talk about the militias that are down in... Whoa, somebody just did a whole Bible verse in there. The militias that are down in Central and Southern California, the Colonial Marines. How many more is it going to take? I know, granted, the population's huge now, and I know 28 guys at a garrison, you know, we're not going to find that. Just like Fort William and Mary, when the militia during the Revolution went over there and took their powder and shot. They found out through intelligence that it was poorly guarded. I'm telling you, don't give up on California. Don't give up on California. Don't give up on your own states. We got Batfag in here talking about Massachusetts. I got people that listen in Connecticut. I got people that listen in New York, and they're like, what are we going to do? Look how 33 men changed the course of history. And if we believe some of the history, some of them were naked. They didn't even have clothes on their back. A total of 500 men seized this. What are we? California's, isn't it the second largest state? Third largest state in the Union? Like Alaska, Texas? My geography's hurting. Thank you, Gunslinger. What few men, dedicated men, can do when they're doing what's right? And they may not have... There's nowhere in any of the history that these were righteous Christian men. I didn't hear that they did a prayer afterwards, that they thanked the Lord for a bloodless revolution. I'm not gonna try and sell you that. That's the fan in the background. You want to turn the fan down to low? Making that hum sound. But yet the Lord can even use ungodly men. Now, most of these men are probably godly. I mean, we heard what I'd said. Are we basically robbers, or are we going to be conquistadors? Are we going to conquer this area? We can't lose heart. We can't. Because we see throughout history, we're just a handful of men have made great change. Great change. Hear the phone getting ready to go again. But the point is, you have to actually take that step. You have to actually take a step toward action. These men marched overland. They commandeered some horses. They obviously watched the fort in Sonoma. to see that, hey, they're only sentries asleep. Now's the time to go in. And when I went in, the barracks were small. They only actually, it showed, the upstairs is completely locked up. You can't look around the fort. But on the basement, right by the front gate, there were eight bunks right there. They had a cannon, a very small cannon. The carriage was huge. A small brass smoothbore cannon with probably about a 3-inch caliber just inside the gate. Never got fired. The palisade around the back was pathetic. But had they locked themselves, the adobe walls were 2 to 3 feet thick at their thinnest. They could have held out for days. But God's providential intervention, no battle was fought there. And he also worked on the heart of General Vallejo. General Vallejo wanted anybody but Mexico, from what I was reading. Anybody but Mexico. I'm still getting a lot of humming in the headphone loop. It's not you. No, it's something else. It's not your wallet, Lou. Lou's holding his wallet up to the microphone. Yeah, your wallet's humming. What's up with that? What is up with that? We see throughout history, we talk about Gideon. He starts out with, what, 10,000 men, 30,000 men, and he gets whittled down to 300. The Lord is calling us. You forgot your coffee creamer, Stace. Ask her if my keys are down there. Look around the room for my keys. I don't know where my keys are. The Lord is definitely calling us. The Lord is definitely using us in this time and place. And how we conduct ourselves is very, very important. And how we answer that call. And as you know, and I didn't make all the announcements, I'm a little rusty right now, but this is a militant Christian radio show. Christian comes first, militant second. So I should say Christian militant radio show. We talk about those things that bring focus to the holy cause of liberty. We're in the first hour, we were talking about the Muslims and what we should do. And, you know, people are going to call us haters if we go throwing pork and stuff, but too bad. We have to be willing to stand in the gap. These men that did the Bear Flag Revolt, took a chance. Because had they not been able to be successful, you know they would have been killed. That was the way they dealt with people back then. They would have been killed. And how did they deal with their prisoners? Even the articles I read you from the school board, from the Department of Education for California, and the state park system, they're like, oh, and then they immediately, you know, it was really mean, they arrested the General Vallejo. Well, they could have beheaded him. They could have shot him. They arrested him, sent him to Sutter's Fort, and let him chill for a while, and then he later went on to serve, you know, I think it said in the Senate, or the Constitutional Convention. Do you see what I'm getting at here? See how we conduct ourselves? Turn my phone off. Just turn it off. That is really weird. No, just turn it off. We want to see if it stops. I don't know, you guys, it sounds like shaving a haircut. 2 bits, digital. Dun, 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 dun. Someone's trying to communicate with us using a... See if it stops. Nope, it didn't stop it. That's really weird. Probably your new computer. Are you pushing anything right now?
No.
Every time we bring in a new piece of equipment, it offsets the whole chicken coop in here. Everything starts getting weird, and I apologize for that sound. I know it's annoying, but I should do this. I should go. What we're doing is we're embedding a secret digital frequency for all our secret decoder ring receivers. So if you are a Dutch Ranger, turn on your receiver, and you'll be receiving the secret digital code with the plans how we're going to overtake this. So just make sure you get the entire signal. Well, you just turned your phone off and it stopped.
Ah!
It might have been, you're way over there. You're like 12 feet away. Yeah, it could be the new phone's just not shielded well. I like to scare everybody. We're being scanned. But, you know, I don't want a chicken little. I need a drink of water here. I'm getting a sore throat. Here, let's hang on, folks. Folks. I don't think we have any wireless keyboards. Nobody's doing anything wireless. You got no mouse or anything? No. So I'm not sure what it is, but that's pretty cool. Thank you for the advice, Batfag. Always welcome. We did get the new soundboard. It's not hooked up yet. We got here at 4 o'clock our time. We will have the new soundboard hooked up tomorrow, so maybe that'll help some. I went out. We spent $65 on the soundboard, $60 on all new cables. We got all new cables, really nice insulated stuff. And I hate to admit this, but we're actually using dollar store audio cables. You know, the dollar store and a bunch of stuff. None of them are shielded very well. That could be part of the problem. But we'll finally be able to get rid of the big ant farm soundboard. And that's right next to me. There's no ants in it right now. But what we'll be able to do is then use the little soundboard. I'm really looking forward to the quality of the sound we're going to get out of that. The phone will probably be better. I got all new cables for the phone. But if you go to DutchJones.tk, you'll see there was only $44 donated. The rest of that came out of our pockets. So I really need you folks to go to DutchJones.tk. If you go to DutchJones.tk and make a donation there, we desperately need it. We need it on top of the additional. The regular stuff. It's additional to the regular stuff. So we desperately, now more than ever, need your financial support. And if everybody in the room that's in the room right now that hasn't given already, just give $5 or $10. Look at how much that would be. You do the math. I can't. What is there? How many people are in the room, Lou?
11.
There's 11. Let's say like 4 or 5 of them. Let's say like 7 of them in there gave $10. That's $70 right there. That would be a huge help. That would be a great, big, gigantic, stinky, wet kiss help for the Dutch Jones radio program. Hopefully you guys missed me. I mean, I wasn't like trying to punish you. I was gone for a couple days. We did go on our journey, our little car trip, and God bless and thank the Lord that we didn't have any problems. The starter started going out, so it would take us forever to start it. So we just left the car on the whole time. Even overnight, we just left it running because it was easier than doing that. And we were, you know, doing that. We did talk in the first half hour about driving by, what was the name of the place? Where it had Rutherford, California, where a mosque was doing the cleanup, and an Islamic center was doing the cleanup along the road. And I was saying, go get your Quran, tear a page out of it, wrap a piece of bacon around it, and throw it on the side of the road. We are encouraging people to get their Qurans. It's probably too late to get a Quran through the mail, but if you go buy one somewhere and burn it on 9/11.
Sell those here?
Yeah, you can buy a Quran. You could probably go to Walden Books or even a Christian. I bet if you go to a Christian bookstore, they got Qurans. I've gone in there asking for the Talmud, and they don't have it, but they've had Qurans.
Oh, that's just,
you know, because of tolerance and all.
Nothing to
do. And remember to
Barnes
& Noble does sell them, Obama the wannabe says. And just have a little on September 7th, just have a little barbecue, make some s'mores, and throw that in there. Maybe take a video of it and put it up on YouTube. You know, if a million people do it, wouldn't that be great?
Yep.
You know, and Petraeus can tell us, oh, you're getting American soldiers killed. No, you're getting American soldiers killed by keeping them over there. And I think we really need to do this. This is up there with if you've got a mosque in your neighborhood that's being built and you don't want it built, throw pork rinds over the fence. Throw pig fat over the fence.
Or a ham.
Or a ham.
Or Spam.
And just, you know, we've got to fight back in this stuff. We've got to stop being sitting on our hands pacifist militia guys. To me, that's just ridiculous. I don't understand it. I don't. I don't understand how you can call yourself a Christian soldier or a militia member or a patriot and not actually be doing something other than hiding pork and beans under your stairs. And I'm not going to call people who do that a coward. I think they're just misdirected. Yeah, print out the pages from the Quran if you don't want to go buy one. You don't want to go spend money on one. Somebody's saying, Freedom Warrior Oz is saying, just print them out. Go print out some stuff from there. Are there any good verses that we should have from the Quran, Lou? Which you like some of the surahs that say, you know, you can... You can't remember them? Look them up. Pick up some surahs. I know Lou has studied the Quran, and he's come up with some really good ones like, you know, it's okay to deceive an infidel or a Jew. It's okay to, like, rape an infidel or a Jew. Some of those kind of. Maybe we could print up some specific, do that. Hey, Dutch, what does it mean to the Muslims if we dump pork at the local mosque? Is that a joke? For me, it means that it desecrates their soil and they have to do a cleansing ceremony and they can't meet there until they get it clean. But it sounds like you're asking a joke there, Freedom Warrior 2. I don't know. What does it mean if we dump pork at a local mosque? What's the punchline? Get the rim shot ready. I don't know. But I'm saying be proactive. Don't worry about them calling you a hater. I mean, don't go throwing Molotov cocktails or anything. Don't break an actual law. I mean, you know, that kind of stuff. It's not time for that yet. You know, we've got some people up here in our region that are throwing Molotovs. You know, I'm not going to turn the guy in if I find out who it is, but I just don't recommend arson. Cause, and the reason with arson is you don't know where it's going to go. You can kill somebody. You throw pork at somebody's front door, what's going to happen? You know, you just make it so they don't want to touch the doorknob. No, not a joke, just asking. Okay, yeah, if you desecrate a mosque with pork, they have to go through a huge cleansing ceremony. I don't know exactly how long it is. They have to bring in the equivalent of a moil or, you know, whatever they have. They have to bring in a mullah. And Stacy's laughing. They have to bring in a mullah and do all kinds of stuff. So yeah, lose. What are you putting up there? Oh, that's where you can get them. But Lou, are you gonna post some good ones?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Lou's got them up there. And if you cut and paste those, for some reason it won't.
It's an annotated Quran.
An annotated Quran. You can go there. You can find some really good verses to help start the barbecue. Now, this should not just be a September 11 thing. I want to buy your toilets. You run out of toilet paper, grab the Quran. Some of those, get a nice one.
You can't flush it down the toilet.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, it won't get clogged.
Your toilet gets clogged.
Stacy's all worried about the plumbing.
Yeah.
Keep it by your fireplace. Use it for kindling. Keep it by your barbecue. You know, if you still have the old style barbecue, you're allowed to use briquettes. I think it would be really, really good for you to do that. And let's just send a message of intolerance. You know, I'm sorry. Some people may get mad at me. The cleansing ceremony. ask Satan to forgive them for touching pork. Yeah, yeah. They'll have to do a big old. I'm sorry, I touched pork. You know, you might want to figure out a way, because like we get these cans of pork that have got this like spam juice in them. That'd be real easy to do, wouldn't it? Put in a squirt gun and just start spraying.
Just whizzing.
Yeah. Some of you are saying just whiz on the Quran. That's not enough for me. Yeah, whizzing's a good start. You know. Bat fag, but I think you should do a little more. I know right now people are cringing, going, I can't believe he's saying this. Oh my gosh. What is Dutch doing? He's not a good Christian. Every good Christian should oppose. I wish we had a King Alfred's War song right now. You should throw the Muslims out of Europe. We should throw the Muslims out of here, out of America. And we should do like our good Christian forefathers did, and just at the point of a sword, drive them out. And that's what we got to do. I'm not saying go to your local liquor store and kill a guy, you know, go shoot somebody in the face, get a turban on his head. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Until they start doing it. You know, if they start blowing stuff up, then we got to answer it. Sorry. That's just the way it is. But we've been protected by the Lord here. You know, what is it last week while I was gone? Those idiots were like duct taping cell phones to Pepto-Bismol bottles and flying to see if people would think they were bombs. And then the State Department and Homeland Security said, oh no, they weren't doing dry runs. They were just being stupid. I don't know. Wow, that half hour went fast and I had nothing to talk about.
I didn't know Pepto.
Hopefully everybody at Liberty Radio just didn't like bail off. I know people like you over here got it, so that'll be good. Okay, guys, we're going to take a break. My throat's killing me. And we're going to run right out of here after the next half hour if I can find something to talk about. And because we got to get something to eat. I'm starving. Yeah, bat fag. We'll talk to you in about a few minutes, I guess it is. I don't even know how long the breaks are anymore. We'll be right back.
We sing glory.
the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-point button. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Bats. Jerry's
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
It's going to be louder, Lou. I can barely hear it. I don't know how the listeners heard it. I was going to give out the phone number. You gave out the phone number too soon. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're coming to you live from Cahuilla, California. It's a commonwealth right outside Sequoia National Park. We're in the foothills at about 1,000 feet. That's all the data you're going to get out of me. That's it. Nothing else. Nobody talks. Everybody walks. Folks, I try to bring as frequently as we can on a regular basis the militant Christian worldview. I stand on the shoulders of great men. I learn from good men today. And I study history as best I can. And we apply the Bible to the holy cause of liberty. And that's what we do here. I get a lot of weird emails. I get a lot of angry emails. You're so hateful, Dutch. I can't believe you're doing that. You're hurting the cause. We militia people, we need to allow everybody into the militia. And I'm like, well, that's your militia. If you want to have a bunch of sodomite Muslims in there, go ahead. You're not going to change me. Only the Lord showing me and revealing something will change me. But you can save your hate mail. I don't really care about it. I'm not even going to go into it. If anybody does want to call in, phone number is 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. I do have one last thing. Some guys were talking about this in the chat room that I do want to talk about because I just can't believe this. It appears that don't ask, don't tell not only applies to sodomites, pillow biters, butt pirates. What else can I come up with? Faggots, queers, you know, all that kind of stuff. Rump wranglers. It also applies to fudge packers. Thank you. It also applies to child pornography viewers. And you guys have seen the story where the Pentagon, it turns out that there's been just thousands and thousands and thousands of cases where people have been downloading pornography. I'm using PayPal and government credit cards and all this to get it. Now it's popped up all over the Pentagon, and they've decided not to investigate it. So I guess Don't Ask, Don't Tell also involves child pornography. And if you weren't listening to the first hour, I almost have to hit this again because during the break I was rereading it. And you've got to understand this. You've got to understand this. Remember when the UN in Africa and Central America, more Africa, I don't think they're really in Central America yet, although they're going to be asking them to go to Mexico soon. The UN peacekeepers were raping children.
That's so sick.
And the UN was providing for these brothels of little girls and little boys for their UN peacekeepers. It got brushed under the rug, and most people forgot about it, just like America forgets about everything. What I think was going on is that the Pentagon was getting their soldiers ready to be rolled into a UN peacekeeping force. They were using these images and these videos to train their soldiers, to get them ready for the lifestyle of being a UN peacekeeper. This is the and you know, I'm saying this with tongue firmly planted in cheek, but think about it.
That's disgusting.
The demoralization of our military is a sign that this nation is no longer blessed. And when the people at our command central, it doesn't get any more control than the Pentagon, are allowed to use your tax dollars to go to strip clubs, to use child pornography online. And when I say use child pornography online, you know what I'm talking about. You know what these deviants are doing in a government building on your dime. And yet, I've got so many people that are sending me, oh, you have to support the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. Oh, you have to support our troops. Oh, you can't be in the militia and not support the war on terrorism the way it's being fought. You can't do that, Dutch. I do not support our military. I don't trust our military. When I say military, I say with the command structure, the hardcore us against them attitude. Now, I've told you in the past, we've had soldiers come to our church that have given me signs of hope where they're saying, oh no, we'll support the Constitution. Good men and women that are in uniform now, I do support them, but I don't support our mercenary military anymore, our corporate thugs for hire, because of this very thing. And remember, 6 months ago, it was the Pentagon guys were going to strip clubs with government credit cards. And, oh, we made them repay it. We made them repay it.
Yeah, right. I don't believe
that. Oh, that's not enough. They need to be taken out of office and thrown in prison. Isn't child pornography a crime?
Yes.
Now, what would happen if, say, God forbid, Dutch Jones had child pornography on this computer right here I'm using to talk to you? They would come after me. You know, I can't even come up with anything. I'm just so angry about this. They would be all over me.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how they get you. They put it on your computer. They do everything they can to destroy you. And it happens to them, their own people. They're paying for it. It's not like somebody snuck into the Pentagon and put some dirty pictures on a couple computers. No, it was thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of cases of downloads. Thousands of dollars worth of downloads. Mm-hmm. And if they're telling us that, it's far worse than what they're telling us. It's far worse than the word. So if they're doing this in their office, we have to assume that high-ranking Pentagon guys are basically out doing snuff films. Because if what we see is the tip of the iceberg, we have to assume, logically, if they're telling us about this, that they're doing nothing about this, that the reality is far worse than we could ever imagine. So stop sending me email telling me that, oh, our boys in uniform, our women in uniform. No. No. You know, Rusty in the rear rank with the rusty rifle, fine, yeah. If he's a guy that I can trust, or is it Rudy in the rear rank with a rusty rifle? Captain Dale Dye, one of my guys that I like to listen to. The debauchery, the perversion that our government on all levels holds, and the contempt for the laws that they force us to obey, that they exempt themselves from, is manifest in the story, and it's all over Yahoo News, AP, or whatever it is, and nobody's demanding that they all step down. The Joint Chiefs of Staff should all be fired. They're not going to do it, because you know why? Because it's a culture of debauchery in Washington. They worship Moloch. They have orgies there. You know they do. They probably sacrifice children. Where do you think all these missing kids go?
Yeah.
They're worshiping Satan in their office where they're viewing this pornography that they're downloading. Well, they take defense contractors out for drinks at a booby bar on your dollar, they are worshiping Satan. And America allows it. The media allows it because they're probably complacent. They probably take the media with them. The media probably goes right along with them. You are paying for the worship of Satan when you pay your taxes. You, when you support our military and everything they do, God bless the red, white, and blue. God bless America, right or wrong. Don't ask, don't tell. Let's let faggots in the military. Yep, as long as it's the law. Let's obey Roe v. Wade. Let's obey fag marriage. Let's allow our military to go over to countries and destroy them while we pay for it, and then we get the repercussions. It's us against them. And they work for one guy. They work for Satan. They may not even know it, but they work for Satan. I do believe, honestly, that many of them do worship Satan willfully, especially those people wearing black robes in the Supreme Court. Most of Congress, most of the House and Senate. You get guys like Barney Franks, who was caught on video sodomizing a 14-year-old boy, and nothing happens because he goes, oh, I thought he was 21.
14?
Yeah. He should be in jail.
But yet you and I commit, we assault somebody in self-defense, we go to prison, we lose everything. Why are you people still honoring this government? Why are you people still voting in this system? Why are you people still bowing at this altar? Why are you paying your taxes? Why are you telling them, yeah, I'll get your driver's license? Just as many hate mail as I get, as much hate mail as I get letters saying, Dutch, what do I do? I'm new to your show. What do I do? Stop aiding and abetting the enemy. Do everything you can. Take claim the most deductions you can on your payroll tax. Shelter, hide, fight. It's the biblical doctrine of deception. You don't have to pay into Caesar those things which are used for debauchery and Satan worship. What would Jesus do? If you went to Jesus and you said, hi, I know that my my taxes go to the Pentagon and the Pentagon uses it for child pornography, so I should just keep paying taxes. Isn't that right, Jesus? No. Grow up. These are all the people that go to like the church we went to over the weekend. It's exactly like the people that sit in those pews. Oh, well, I better pay my taxes. Oh, I better get a driver's license. I better get a marriage license. I better send my kids to the public brainwashing building that they call a school.
Yeah. I can't.
Stop crying to me about how terrible this country is when you're not doing what I'm asking you to do. That came out wrong. When I'm not advising you to do. I'm not, you know, I'm nobody. But don't ask me for help. I give it to you, and then you keep playing the game because you love your pension. You love your cushy recliner so you can watch NASCAR on the weekend. All right? I was watching a documentary today about my favorite villain, Hitler. And it was one of the best documentaries I've ever seen. It was on the History Channel, which H stands for Hitler. And they were talking about his family. And how all this proof was out there that he wasn't what he claimed to be. They knew in the 30s that he was just a complete shyster. He was Jewish. Mm-hmm. And yet nobody listened to it. Mm-hmm. That big snowball kept going and he destroyed Germany. He got the rest of Europe to destroy Germany. Mm-hmm. He raped his own nieces and killed them.
Disgusting.
He imprisoned his own relatives. Mm-hmm. His own relatives were writing memoirs about how whacked he was, and nobody would listen. We're in the same situation now, except we don't have one man. I'm not saying that Obongo's Hitler. He's not that smart. He's dangerous, but he's not that smart. We see the truth all around us, but yet as a nation we ignore it. As a people we ignore it. As Christians we ignore it. There can be no compromise. You're either aiding in your slavery or you're resisting your slavery. If you're ignoring your slavery, you're aiding in your slavery, period. We've gotten to that point where I now hold the sheep accountable for their own slavery and the efforts that the enemy is able to make into my life because they refuse to do anything. I look at it this way. Let's say we've built a fort and we've got a wall around our city. and only 10% of the people agree to man up and stand on that wall to defend against the barbarians. Because that other 90% want to sit and suck on their thumb and do nothing about it because they're cowards, we 10% have to carry a greater burden and run a greater risk and a greater chance of defeat. So therefore, that 90% is no longer our brother or sister. They are the enemy. And it is better that I put a bullet in their head and stick them up on the parapet with a rifle so that the enemy thinks, kind of like in the last remake of Beau Jest, remember? Beau Jest? Put a dead guy on the parapet with a rifle to scare the enemy, even though there's not bullets coming out of that musket. It's better that I do that than to allow them to live. I am sick and tired of my own brothers and sisters in the so-called Christian world selling us out. Because I can tell you right now, at that Pentagon, there are so-called Christians in high places there that are letting this happen.
They're traitors.
There are Christians in office. I know they're there. And only a few of them are screaming. You got Tancredo, you got Ron Paul to a certain extent. But most of the Christians in high places don't do anything and are therefore of the enemy and deserve the same fate that the enemy's going to get. Am I being too harsh here?
No.
Then why am I still getting the letters? What do I do, Dutch? I just don't know what to do. I don't have any money. If you don't have any money, stop giving money to the government. Find a way to stop sending them money. Find a way to stop sending them money. Here's a novel idea. Send the money here. You like this ministry? You like what I'm saying? Send it here and we'll put it to good use. We'll send it to our missionary in Africa who's actually out fighting Muslims. The needs here get met? You guys want to send more? I know exactly what to do with it. The cause is out there. The rally cry has been out long before I came along. Long before I came along, and yet nobody wants to do anything. Everybody wants an easy 30-second thing. Well, maybe if I vote for this guy. Maybe if I donate to this political party. Choosing a political party in America today is like loading a gun with 6 bullets and playing Russian roulette. Yeah, I said that. That's what I'm talking about. Lewis, put in Peter Hammond's website in there. I couldn't even watch it this morning. I saw that William Shatner was interviewing the daughter from Ruby Ridge. I couldn't even watch it because now it's become, oh yeah, ho hum, ho drum. Yeah, they killed her mom and her brother. Big deal. Waco. Oh yeah, a bunch of people died. A bunch of kids died. Okay, fine. It's not a question of what it's going to take or when it's going to happen. It's happening now. It's happening around us. Lou just put in the frontline.org.za. Frontline.org.za. That's Peter Hammond's missionary group. He goes in with a Bible in one hand and AK-47 in the other. He actually shoots Muslims that try to kill him in Africa. He doesn't go over there with a bunch of water filters and little tracks and go, oh, we've got to love our enemy. No, we have to kill our enemy. We have to kill our enemy. They want to convert. That's between them and God. They want to come up to me and say, teach me the way of Christ. Fine. But they come up to me with a bayonet, a bomb, a machete, an AK-47. They're going to get shot 100 yards out. Period. And unless the rest of Christian America, the rest of the so-called patriot movement, gets this kind of attitude, nothing is going to change. We're headed for a dark ages, people. I don't know if I'm going to live long enough to see it. I got all kinds of funky health issues. But my mission is to yell into this microphone and to teach my kids and to teach my wife. And if they'll listen, maybe they have a chance of surviving it. I don't think I'm going to make it. Lord willing, yeah, fine, I'll go. I'll be a teacher. I'll be a trainer. But I'm no longer a soldier. I just can't do it anymore. But why? People that have the means and the ability, that are blessed with the physical ability to fight back, aren't fighting right now. I don't know. I am dumbfounded by this. When I said earlier in the show, in the first hour, I live in a vacuum because I am surrounded by good men and women who want to fight. Yeah, we have our whiners and our wimps here too, just like everywhere else. Our people that need to be kicked in the butt or kicked to the curb. That's what I call it, the kick in the butt test. If you kick them in the butt and they run to the curb, let them go. If you kick them in the butt and they straighten out, let them stay. Till they screw up three times. This 70 times 70 thing, I don't buy into that. There are a lot of people in my life that are on their last grace with me. And they know that because I tell them that. I tell them in my trainings, hey, I'm going to do this. If you don't want to show up, fine, I'll go somewhere else and do it. I'm not here to just blither so that you people can feel good about yourselves and pretend you're part of the movement. We need soldiers. We don't need models. We don't need actors. We don't need weekend warriors. We need people that it's a lifestyle. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to the Lord. No king but King Jesus is not just a bumper sticker, people. But the perverted, undereducated minds of American Christians have made it that. When I sat in that church on Sunday, second service, there were probably 250 people in there. And I looked around and I thought, I wonder how many people in here would stand up to defend their family or this church when government troops march on it. I have no way of knowing. I can't see into men's hearts. I don't have that gift. But I bet the number's really low. We got old women in our church that are tougher than most of the men in corporate churches. How long are we going to let them slowly eat us alive as a people? How long are we going to sit here and listen to guys like me read news articles and share with you insight and read Bible verses, and you're going to be, that's right, preach on, Brother Dutch, right. But yet you won't make any decisions past the point of, oh, I got to get up and go to work tomorrow. The sheer lack of support of this ministry proves that. The sheer lack of the support for Liberty Tree Radio at large. I know there, and it's always the same people that promote these causes. Well, the burden is heavy on these few, and they can't carry it alone anymore. Now, whether we got 32 guys that are going to march up on the gates and say, hey, we're taking it, and it works out, or we take 32 guys and we get blown away at the gates, we don't know what God's plan is. But unless we start putting our money, our efforts, and our materials where our mouth is, the Lord's not going to bless us. In fact, He's going to mock us and abandon us. And I know the last half hour of every show gets into this tone, and some people have complained that they don't like it. They don't like it that I mix all this Christianity in. Well, too bad. You know, go listen to something else. You're not needed nor wanted here. You're not allowed to listen to my show if you don't understand this. If you're just new and you're listening, give it a few shows. Write me some emails. Ask me some questions. If I can't answer them, I'll redirect them to people that can. I mean, you get guys like Chuck Baldwin who just closed his church in Florida after 30-plus years and is moving to Montana so he can protect his family. What better example do you need? Well, he's a rich guy. He's got all the money. Well, no, he doesn't. He doesn't know what he's going to do when he gets there. What if he gets there and starts a church and nobody wants to listen? And I'm not comparing myself to him, but daily, I put my money where my mouth is, what little bit I have. I put my efforts. I train my mind and my body. I train my son and anyone who will listen for this cause. But yet everybody wants to feel happy and listen to the Rush Limbaughs and the Sean Hannitys and go, ooh, I'm doing something. I'm a conservative. I go to church on Sunday. Can't remember any books of the Bible, but I'm a conservative Christian. Woo! I hate fags. I'm anti-abortion. Woo! I've done everything I can do. Let me go home now. You people are pathetic. You're like the Tories during the Revolution. You're like, oh, I don't want to take a chance. And then when the When I get mad, I screw things up. When the Patriots start to win, then you join them. I can tell you what, if I live long enough to get through this revolution and I start seeing some fair-weather Patriots coming, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure they don't benefit. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure they're not welcome at the table when we rebuild whatever nation it is we're going to rebuild. I'm going to say, I remember you. I remember you mocking us in the beginning. I remember you giving information to the enemy. I remember you doing nothing when the hat was passed around for the Widows and Orphans Fund for the soldiers that died. And now that we've won, you want a position at the table? If I have the power, if I have any say in it, you're going to be hung. Because you're a traitor, a coward, and you should not have any part in rebuilding what this nation needs to be. Oh yeah, Glenn Beck. Yeah. I've had enough of Glenn Beck. I don't like to necessarily bash other shows. Especially, you know, I'm this pathetic little guy that, you know, has 2,000 to 3,000 listeners a month. I'm that crazy Dutch guy from California.
Yeah.
But come on. Why is that guy a millionaire and we can't even raise money to pay for our soundboard? What is wrong with our priorities? There you go. Bat Fact says, action is not part of our culture. They bred it into you. They've bred the domineering pioneer attitude out of you. People don't want to do what it takes to get things done anymore. They want a Mexican to do it for them. Majority of people in America don't even educate their own kids at all. Large number have foreign national illegal aliens nurturing and raising their children. Well, I give them a edge saying mercy tempered with justice, deport them. There will be some deportations, but people that outright betray us, they can't be trusted to go over and mount a coup. That's my opinion. I've learned from history, stop sending Napoleon to an island. Sometimes you just got to behead the guy. If somebody takes active stances against the cause, they can't be trusted. But yeah, I want to deport all of our liberal politicians to China. It's not really a deportation because they're not going back, but send them, exile them. Do like Lincoln did. Do like the tyrant Lincoln did. Send people who disagree with him to Canada, but instead we'll send them to China, North Korea. I'd love to send Nancy Pelosi. That's okay, Ed. I can't spell either. I went to public school. Okay, folks, this is the end of the show. I got like 2 minutes here, a minute and a half. I hate to pound it, but we need those donations. We need those donations. We spent the last of our money getting that soundboard, and you're going to hear it tomorrow. We spent the last of our money and got new audio cables. We still got to pay the internet bill. And, you know, we took a couple days off. We may take the rest of the month off till we get more money if we can't pay the internet bill. If we can't pay for the time and space that we're using over on Liberty Tree Radio, donate to them. Why is it that we have enough money to send soldiers to Afghanistan, but we don't have enough money to keep ministries like this up and running? Answer that question, and then go to thedutchjones.tk and do what you got to do. Okay, folks, this is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. Remember, as always, we are the Church of Kaweah. The things I say here are not necessarily the views of the church, the pastor, the pulpit, people in the pews, or anything. It's just my views. Just my views. So, remember that when you send the hate mail. Stop writing my pastor and trying to get me in trouble, you pukes. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Nicholas. We'll be back tomorrow with a real show. We'll have the new soundboard. Thanks for listening. God bless you and all you do in the holy cause of liberty. The sword is heavy and the battle is hard, but the victory belongs to the Lord alone. Thank you for listening. I really, really, really mean that.